May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things of which the COVID pandemic has reminded us is that we do not have ultimate control over our lives, much as we might often like to think we do. We all have experienced insecurity, uncertainty, and powerlessness to different degrees. It's true that some people have been more powerless than others in the face of this disease. Those who have no money or influence, no access to medical care, and for whom COVID is one more fearful threat to their already fragile existence. We in the Western world have more power than many, and we are called to use our power, our money, our influence to help those who are more powerless than we are. However, alongside the cruel inequalities that the pandemic has highlighted, it is nevertheless also true that ultimately we are all powerless in the face of severe illness and death. We do not have ultimate control over our lives. This is always true, but perhaps the COVID pandemic has woken us up more fully to this fact. In our gospel reading this morning, we hear of two desperate people who are both powerless, one in the face of long-term illness and one in the face of death. One, Jairus, is a synagogue leader, a man with power and influence, wealth and a large household. The other is a nameless woman who is poor, ritually unclean and ostracised from society. They are at opposite ends of the social, economic and religious spectrum. But they both experience powerlessness and turn in desperation to Jesus for help. These two stories challenge us to think about our own powerlessness and our need to turn to Christ and trust him. The two stories of the raising of Jairus' daughter and the healing of the nameless woman are intertwined by Mark in a way that effectively reinforces his message that in the face of fear, desperation and powerlessness, all kinds of people can turn in trust to Christ and know his life-giving power. The account begins with Jesus surrounded by a large crowd. It's in this very public setting that Jairus, the man of high social and religious standing, falls at Jesus' feet, begging in desperation. My little daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Despite his high status, Jairus knows he is powerless in the face of suffering and death, and he is prepared to humble himself and come in faith that Jesus can do something. Jesus responds positively to Jairus and along with the crowd follows him to his house. No doubt Jairus was trying to hurry Jesus along as quickly as possible. So imagine his dismay when their journey is interrupted. Amongst the crowd, there is a woman who has suffered from continuous bleeding for 12 years. Her life must have been miserable. Not only has she suffered a great deal physically, but she was reduced to poverty because she had spent all she had on doctors, enduring their treatments, but to no avail. Even more than that, she was an outcast from the worshipping community. Due to her flow of blood, the religious law declared she was permanently ritually unclean, so she was required to stay apart from others, to live in quarantine, as we might say today. The woman is desperate. Her only hope is in Jesus. She has heard wonderful things about him, so she leaves her house and breaks her quarantine, joining the crowd around Jesus. "If only I can touch his cloak, I will be healed," she says to herself. So she touches Jesus' cloak and immediately knows she is healed from her condition. No doubt the woman thinks she can then slip away quietly, rejoicing in what has happened. But it doesn't work out like that, because Jesus is aware that someone has touched him in faith and been healed. He turns to the crowd and asks, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples think Jesus is mad to ask such a question. It's like us asking who touched us in the press of a big crowd at a sports event or a concert, even though such crowds are quite hard to imagine at present times. But Jesus knows something significant has happened, and he goes on looking in the crowd to see who has touched him. The woman comes forward, falling at Jesus' feet, and tells him what has happened. She can be anonymous no longer. She meets Jesus face to face, and he tells her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." The word Jesus uses for healing here also means wholeness and salvation. The woman has received more than physical healing. She is now restored to a relationship with God and the worshipping community. She can go in the shalom, the peace of God's blessing, because she trusted in Jesus to help her. Her faith is not just a mental act of believing, but a committing of herself and her need to Jesus in trust that he will do something. She then receives abundantly from Jesus, not just a cure of symptoms, but fullness of life and wholeness. But now, think of this incident from Jairus' point of view. The tormenting delay, the agony that Jesus is wasting precious time on this wretched woman when his daughter is dying. The dread that this delay will be fatal. Then what Jairus most fears happens, and the news arrives. "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But Jesus says to Jairus, "Do not fear, only believe." Don't give up. Go on believing despite this news. Perhaps Jesus is also challenging Jairus to see the healing of the woman not as a frustrating delay to be bitter about, but as evidence of the power of Jesus. In our world, it's true that one person often benefits at the expense of another, but a different logic prevails in the kingdom of God, a logic in which what is good for one person is also good for his or her neighbour. Jesus can bring life to both the sick woman and the dead girl. He challenges Jairus, "Just believe, trust me." So, finally, Jesus arrives at Jairus' house, where there is a loud commotion of wailing and mourning. Jesus announces to the mourners that the little girl is not dead, but asleep. Some commentators have suggested that Jesus knew that she was not dead, but in a coma. But certainly Mark believed the girl was really dead. Death is referred to as a kind of sleep in many places in the New Testament. Jesus takes the parents of the girl and his closest friends into the child's room. That she had her own bedroom is another indication of Jairus' wealth, since most dwellings of the time would have been a simple one-room affair. And Jesus takes the girl's hand. Even though a corpse would have been ritually unclean and not to be touched, Jesus touches her and brings life, just as the ritually unclean woman had received healing from touching Jesus earlier. Then, as he does with Lazarus, Jesus personally addresses the little girl to call her back to life. Talitha kum, he says in Aramaic, which means, little girl, get up. Immediately the girl gets up, she arises, and the same Greek word is used for Jesus' resurrection. And Jesus tells her parents to give her something to eat. This miracle is a sign pointing to the life-giving power of God at work in Jesus, as revealed most fully in his own resurrection. So what do these two miracles say to us? I said earlier that the COVID pandemic reminds us of our own helplessness in the face of illness and death. Both Jairus and the unnamed woman, despite their different status in society, are equally powerless in the face of suffering. And both are aware they have no hope left but Jesus. There is a challenge here for us. While we have a sense of our own power and influence, while we feel we are in control of things and are secure in our own achievements, we may feel we do not need Jesus and our faith is unlikely to thrive. It's when something happens in our lives that shows us our sense of being in control is really an illusion, and we begin to face our own powerlessness, that our faith and hope in Jesus may grow. But in fact, even when things seem to be going well for us, we need to acknowledge that in a deep sense, we are powerless and that we need God and his grace. Sometimes, as we try to trust God, we may find that our faith is tested. Jairus had faith enough at the beginning to come before Jesus publicly to ask for his help. But his faith must have been tested as Jesus was delayed, spending precious time with the woman. His faith is tested to the uttermost when the news arrives that his daughter has died. Surely, there's no point in any faith now, and he may as well give up. But it's at this point that Jesus challenges Jairus to trust him and to go on believing. We may also go through times when our faith is severely tested through illness, disappointment, bereavement. Jesus' challenge is the same to us. Go on believing. This faith, this trust, is to be focused on the person of Jesus. The crux of the woman's story is not the point at which she is cured, but the point at which she comes face to face with Jesus. She is not healed by magic, but by the power of Jesus. And this is much deeper than any merely physical healing. Jesus offers her salvation and peace. We are not promised as Christians that we will be protected from all trouble and healed from every sickness, or that we will see our loved ones raised to life immediately in this life. But we are called to put our trust in Jesus. Just believe, go on believing, trust in me. If we do so, we will grow in the deep wholeness he offers. So, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves this morning, let us not be too proud to acknowledge before God our powerlessness and put our trust in him. Jesus says to us, do not be afraid. Go on believing. Trust in me. Amen.